Itam jita bhagavat prata aine yajina vasa sanu savana vishekaradra kapisha kutila jata kalapena chaviruchamana suryacha bhagavantam haranmayam purusham ujihane surya mandale bhyu patishane tad u hovacha. You can repeat itam in this way. Adrita Bhagavat Vrataha. Having accepted the vow to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aineya Ajina Vasasa. With a dress of a deer skin. Anusavana. Three times a day. Abhisheka. By a bath. Ardra. Wet. Kapisha. Tawny. Kutila jata. Of curling and matted hair. Kalapena. By masses. Cha. And. Virochamanaha. Being very beautifully decorated. Suryarcha. By the Vedic hymns worshipping the expansion of Narayan within the sun. Bhagavantam. Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ranmayam. The Lord, whose bodily hue is just like gold. Purusham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ujihane, when rising. Surya Mandale, the sun globe. Abhyu Patishtan, worshipping. Etat, this. Uha, certainly. Uvacha, he recited. Translation, Maharaj Bharata appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing three times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharata worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. You can repeat. Maharaj Bharata appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing three times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence, and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharata worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda. And he recited the following verse as the sun rose. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. The predominating deity within the sun is Haranmaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhurbhuvah Svah, Tat Savitur Vrenyam Bhargava Devasya Dhimahi. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda, for instance, Jaya Siddha Savitri Mandala Madhyavarti. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated and he has a golden hue. So I'm going to read the next verse in his purport because they're both dealing with the worship of the sun and worship of the Gayatri Mantra and Lord Narayan. So then we're going to talk about both of them. Text 14. Paro raja savitur jata vedo devasya bargo manasedam ja jana sureta sata purar avishat chaste homsam gridhranam richad ringiram hima. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the Supersoul. And by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as the Supersoul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham, Riddhi Sanavishtaha. I'm sitting in everyone's heart, from the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, text 15. As the Supersoul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities, as stated in the Brahma Sanghita, in the 5th chapter, text 35, Anantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. He enters the universe and the atom as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra, Jaya Sura Savitramandala Majjadvarti Narayana Sarasi Jasana Sanivishtaha. Narayana sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun has maintained the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of King Bharata. So here's mentioned what I wanted to speak about this morning was the Gayatri Mantra itself, because this is one of the few places where Prabhupada actually gives what's called the Brahma Gayatri so that everyone can read it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Normally, when we take initiation, there's this mantra sheet that says, don't show to anyone else. Does anyone remember that? Yep. Except for those who were initiated brahmanas. Mm-hmm. Everybody here is initiated, second initiated, so you all remember that. So here is Prabhupada saying this verse for everybody. This is called the Brahma Gayatri, which is the Vaidic mantra. And then there's three different paths or margs. Marg means path. Just like if you go to Delhi, you'll see Gandhi Marg, Mahatma Gandhi Marg. That's not one of the spiritual paths, unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be. So there is the Pancharatriki Marg, there's the Bhagavati Marg, and the Vaidic Marg. It's interesting. There's three different paths. You understand? Everyone understands that? It's important information. So in the Vaidic Marg, which basically means the original four Vedas and the sacrifices and the Vedas and all that other stuff that are performed by ritualistic brahmanas. And this the Brahma Gayatri is included in this Vaidic Marg. And I'm going to explain something very interesting about it in a second. And the Pancharatriki means that deity worship and the chanting of what we hold the Pancharatriki mantras, which are the other mantras in the Gayatri mantras that we get. There's seven mantras altogether. First one is the Brahma Gayatri, which is the Vaidic system, and then the rest of the Pancharatriki system. Everyone understands that? And then the Bhagavati Marg, the Bhagavad Marg, you have the chanting of Hare Krishna and the recitation of Krishna's pastimes and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, like Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna, other types of Krishna Katha. So, anyway, let's see, I don't want to give too many details about this. So it's interesting also that as far as the Brahma Gayatri is concerned, in the Vedic literatures, it says that the women shouldn't be given the Brahma Gayatri. That's it. It says something that's a little interesting. And the reason given is quite interesting. At least the reason that some people give is that the chanting the Brahma Gayatri by men makes their hearts softer. And when the women chant the Brahma Gayatri, their hearts become harder. So, but in Kali Yuga... But then anyway, we had Prabhupada, who was very unique, and he gave the Brahma Gayatri to everybody, men and women, which is interesting. And the explanation some people give is that in Kali Yuga, everybody's heart is hard and needs to become a little softer. So, but Prabhupada actually understood the inherent equality of all living entities, whereas the original Vedic system is really based to a large extent upon, caste consciousness and, bodily distinction, whereas the Pantarajiki and the Bhagavat system is based upon the transcendental understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the question is, why do we actually recite the Brahma Gayatri? And I'll explain that in a few minutes. Anyway, so as far as the mantras, this is, to me it's interesting anyway. There's six different types of mantras that are used. And not only the Gayatri mantras. There's Dhyana mantras, which is a mantra used in deity worship. These are the mantras used in deity worship to invoke meditation or the transcendental form of the Lord. There's Bija mantras, which are seed mantras for meditation on certain articles used for worship. There's Mula mantras, which are the root mantras, being the essence of the deity, and are recited as a means of addressing the Lord. There's Stutis and Stotras. These are prayers chanted before and during after worship of the Lord. There's Pranam mantras, which are offering obeisance to the Lord and his devotees. And ultimately, this is the Gayatri mantra. And the Gayatri mantra, we're talking right now about the Brahma Gayatri, of course, which is the Brahma Gayatri invokes the three aspects of transcendental realization, which is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And the word Gayatri itself indicates a specific meter. Meter means like a rhythm in which you recite things, just like each and every Sanskrit verse has a particular meter or rhythm to recite it. And that meter is called the chandas, which is sung in the Vedic hymns. So when one gets the Gayatri mantra, traditionally it was called Upanayanam. And this Upanayanam was usually given to someone who was a Brahmin when they were very young, like 5 or 6 or 7 years of age. Like in the case of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took this, which is Upanayam is Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri mantra, not the other mantras. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took the Upanayam from his father. And Prabhupada also took Upanayanam from a Kula Guru or a family guru. Everyone understand that? But his actual guru later on was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then he got the other Gayatri mantras, the other six, from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He didn't get the Brahma Gayatri from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that was the system. It's interesting that Prabhupada gave us all. So the word Upanayanam means basically to come close to the spiritual master or to come close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so that's the system. And even today, in some of our Gurukulas, you'll have the children given the Gayatri, at least the Brahma Gayatri mantra and a sacred thread when they're very young. You'll see that sometimes if you go to Mayapur. Now, let's say, as far as this Upanayanam in our tradition, the Gaudiya tradition, there's not much reference in our literature, except in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it just mentions that one should perform the Upanayana in the morning and the Trisanjya. Trisanjya means the three times of the day when the sun is rising, when the sun is overhead, and then when the sun is setting or right after the sun is set. So, let's see what else. Oh, and then the word diksha, this is interesting, is composed of two syllables, di, which comes from the root dan, which means to give spiritual knowledge, and divigana, and shid, which comes from the root shaya, which means to destroy sinful activities. So diksha is the process by which a conditioned soul learns spiritual knowledge that destroys his sinful reactions or his sinful proclivities. The seed of a sinful desire like the papabija, the kuta, which is the inclination. So as far as the Brahma Gayatri, which is being described here in this verse, there's some quotes I'd like to read. There's one from the Bhagavad Gita. Of the hymns in the Samaveda, I am the Brihatsama, and of the poetry, I am the Gayatri. That's from the Bhagavad Gita's 10th chapter, text 35. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya in chapter 31 says, Vedic literatures explain that sound vibration, which can elevate one from mental concoction, is called Gayatri. Another place in the Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada says, the Gayatri mantra is also mentioned in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam because the Gayatri mantra is especially meant for God realization. It represents the Supreme Lord. The Gayatri is considered to be the sound incarnation of the Lord. All right. An explanation of the Brahma Gayatri is the sounds of the Brahma Gayatri are none different from the personality of Gayatri Devi, who is a consort of Lord Vishnu. She is considered to be an expansion of Lakshmi, Saraswati, and another name of her is Savitri. Another name is Sanja. Let's see. And so the origin of the Brahma Gayatri is very interesting. Once upon a time, many years ago, before any of you were born, Krishna began to play on his flute. And that flute sound entered into the ear of Lord Brahma as the Vedic syllable or the Vedic word Om, A-U-M. And, of course, these three letters, A-U-M, in the sound of Om, sometimes it's described, they refer to Krishna and Radharani and the living entity, other times and the description is that they refer to Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, the three aspects of devotional service. So when this sound vibration of Krishna's flute hit Lord Brahma's ear, and it became spoken through the mouth of Lord Brahma, then it became Gayatri. So the Brahma Gayatri is actually a manifestation or a further expansion of the syllable Om, as Krishna says in the Gita, Pranava Sarvavedeshu Shabdake Purusham Nishu, which means I am the Pranava, I am the Omkara in the Vedic literatures. So that's the origin of the of the Gayatri mantra. And of course the Gayatri mantra begins, the first line of the Gayatri begins with the word Om anyway. And so we're going to describe the different words in the Gayatri mantra right now. So Om refers to Krishna, Radharani, the living entity, or Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Then the next words are called the Vrittis. They're called Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. The next three words of the Gayatri mantra. And these represent the seven planetary systems within this material world. That's Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, Maha, Jana, Tapa, and Satcha Loka. And if you want to understand more of those, you can read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And they also describe the seven planes of consciousness. And this seven is actually a very interesting number. You know, just even in Christianity, they talk about the seventh heaven or something like that. So somehow it's a very auspicious number. So let's see. Oh, here's the description. This is interesting. Bhuva represents the sky or astral plane. Swa represents heaven or the mental plane. Maharloka represents the higher plane. Janaloka represents the place of birth, a still higher plane. Tapa represents the mansion of the blessed, an even higher place. And Satcham represents the abode of truth, the highest plane. And also it's said sometimes that these three words represent the Bhura Bhuva Swa, represent the Sapta Rishis, including Viswamitra, Jamadagni, Bharadwaja, Gotama, Atri, Vasishta, and Kashyapa. Also, sometimes it's mentioned that it represents the seven devatas, Agni, Vayu, Aditya, Brahaspati, Varuna, Indra, and Vishvadevata. It's interesting. You don't have to remember all this while you're chanting, though. Just pay attention. Anyway, and then the next word is Tat. The word Tat in the Brahma Gayatri denotes the Param Brahma. That means the Supreme Brahman, who is Krishna. And then there's Savitur, which is mentioned also in this verse here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. A heavenly planetary system. Savita, the sun god, controls all these planetary systems. In one sense, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, first chapter, text 31, Prabhupada mentions, by chanting the Gayatri Mantra just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a further explanation of this. He says, the actual soul of all living entities within the universe is the sun. Therefore, he's worshipful. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. Surya is the life and soul of this universe, and there are innumerable universes for which the sun god is the life and soul, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire universe. There's another further explanation. Savita may refer to the sun planet, but actually Savita dwells in the sun planet. The sun is destructible, but Lord Vishnu, who is also known as Savita, is not. One can see Lord Savita only by pure meditation and spiritual vision. Lord Vishnu is situated in the sun planet, in the heart, and in Vaikuntha Loka. So the sun is like the heart of the universe. And it's, Lord Vishnu is like the super soul within the heart. You understand the comparison? Within the heart of the body. By the mercy of the Brahma Gayatri, a sadhaka may gain this vision of Lord Vishnu. Savita also means that person who stimulates or inspires the original cause of all beings and things. In other words, Savita denotes the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and the word Savitri means the energy of the Lord or Lakshmi Devi who reveals or gives Savita Lord Vishnu. Also indirectly can indicate Srimati Radharani. So there's, you know, there's different, the Gaudiyas have little different interpretations of some of the words in the Gayatri Mantra. Then the next word is Varenyam, which means the best of the personalities who should be worshipped or chosen by all people. And of course that means Lord Vishnu, the ultimate shelter for all. Then the next word is Bhargo. Bhargo, which is, it's an aspirant. The Bhargo means someone who is brilliant, full of life and energy. So it refers basically to the energy, the supreme energetic Krishna, and the energy which emanates from Krishna, the Brahman effulgence, means divine essence. Also, another, this sounds like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, another word, Bhargo. Bha means brilliant, Ra means Rati, the court consort of Cupid or blissful pastimes. Ga means full of knowledge. Combining these definitions leads one to the brilliant golden form of Srimati Radharani. That's definitely Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries actually sees Radha and Krishna in every verse. We read some of his commentaries. Radharani, the eternal consort of Kamadeva Krishna, who is the master of Cupid. Radharani is always absorbed in blissful pastimes with her Priyatama, which is Shyam. Priyatama means most dear. That's the superlative form of dear. You understand? So we could say, you're dear to me. That's just just an expression. Then there's comparative. You're more dear to me. And then one can say, you're most dear to me. So you husbands should always say to your wives, you're most dear. So, and then the next one is Devasya, refers to a personality who is divine, glowing, transcendental. And that means, of course, Krishna. And the next word is Dhimahi, which means to meditate on. Which is the root, means to hold. So it means I meditate upon that supreme illuminating power to get liberated and attain him. And then Diyo Na, the next, means that our buddhi intelligence inspires us to do good work. Lord Vishnu is inspiring every living entity by his divine inspiration. And then, Diyo Na Prachodayat. So that Prachodayat means, may Lord Vishnu inspire and impel us further forward. He is the independent one who should bless us and guide us on the correct path of action in the world to act only for his pleasure. So that's the Gayatri. So the total meaning, there's many different meanings. I'm going to read some of the meanings that are extracted from the Gayatri Mantra. The first is, of course, the most common meaning. Let me meditate on the worshipable effulgence of the divine sun who enthuses our meditation. And now here's some other meanings. May that essence of Lord Vishnu manifest as the sun lead my mind to dwell on his divine self in all acts and undertakings and at all times. It's wonderful, isn't it? Another one is, let me meditate upon the venerable radiance of the divine sun, the shining creator. May he impel our buddhi and spiritual intellect and higher intuition. Another one is, let us meditate, Dhimahi, upon the Param Brahma, Tat, who is the cause of all causes, Om, and the destroyer of all existence in the universe, Bhur Bhuva Swa. As the independent source of all energy and life, Bhargo, he is the shining Devasya Supersoul, the sun, Savitur. Let us use our intelligence to reach the transcendental world. Another meaning is, one should meditate upon Lord Narayan, that is Surya Narayan, bedecked with earrings, crown, armlets, and bearing conch, disc, lotus, and club, with his four hands, sitting on a lotus throne in the middle of the sun planet. That's also another ecstatic meditation. Next one is, may the Gayatri Devata, that's Lakshmi Narayan, the presiding deity, the Brahma Gayatri, who fulfills one's desires, help us to know the eternal Lord, who is understood only through the scriptures. May Gayatri, the mother of all the Vedas, reveal this eternal truth to us. And the last one I have here is, the origin of the energy of this material world comes from Krishna in the form of Radha. All the energy making up the three worlds is simply a transformation of her energy. That's a pretty nice meditation when you're chanting the Brahma Gayatri. So the benefits of chanting it... It is the giver of bliss. This is from the Yajnavalkya Sanghita. It is the giver of bliss. Merely reciting Gayatri destroys heaps of sins. Reciting it 10 times removes the sins committed from birth. Reciting 100 times destroys the sins of previous life. Reciting 1,000 times destroys the sins of the past three lives. Anyway, by chanting Hare Krishna, it gets rid of all the sins, so we don't have to start chanting Brahma Gayatri 10,000 times or something like that. Upon placing Gayatri Mantra and the Vedas on a scale, Lord Brahma found them to be equal weight. These are all from the Puranas. That was from the Padma Purana. Markandeya Rishi said, by chanting Gayatri, one can achieve either material gain or liberation. The worshipper who is devoid of desires, however, attains the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. So that's the real secret, you know, like the book. Anyway. So another point is the Vedas state that the original Pranava Omkara Om is expanded into the Gayatri Mantra, which we described before. Then the Gayatri Mantra expands into the Chatu Shloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these four verses expand into the form of the full Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a manifestation, ultimately, of the Lord's flute. The flute sound. You know, because the Lord's flute was heard by Lord Brahma, and he heard it as Om, and then he chanted the Gayatri, and that became expanded into the Chatur Shloki, the four initial verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then the full Srimad Bhagavatam became manifest. Hmm. So, of course, it's more important to chant Hare Krishna. Because it quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. So even without a guru or initiation, sadhu sangha or anything else, one can still chant Hare Krishna, attain perfection. Of course, it's a lot easier and quicker if one accepts the spiritual master and one accepts the chanting of the Gayatris and one is engaged in practical service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Gayatri. The Gayatri mantra or Om liberates one from repeated birth and death in this world, but the holy names of Krishna gives one shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So in other words, by chanting Krishna's name, you automatically get the effects of chanting the Gayatri mantra. But we chant the Gayatri mantra because it helps us focus and keep our minds and consciousness in the mode of goodness so that we can focus on Krishna's holy names. It's an adjunct, and you know, it helps us chant Hare Krishna better. But without chanting Hare Krishna, you're not going to go back to Godhead by chanting the Gayatri. Some quotes about Prabhupada, chanting Gayatri. There was one time Prabhupada was giving initiation. Prabhupada began to teach someone the Gayatri mantra. Then he took the sacred thread, put around, as a devotee reciting my neck and across my shoulder very gracefully and with precision in his movements. Now he said, you are a Brahmin. There's another interesting story. Once a devotee who had previously used drugs re-entered Prabhupada's rooms right after receiving Brahminical initiation. When Prabhupada asked him why he was returning and interrupting, this devotee, his name was Sahadev, replied, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I forgot my bee bag." After he left the room, Prabhupada turned to me and said, "This is a Brahmana." In other words, he always keeps his bee bag with him. It's very interesting, because that's the most important thing. Because automatically, if one is chanting the Lord's holy names, it's understood that he's performed all these preliminary activities. And he's automatically become a Brahmin. But if one neglects to chant the holy names, then Kali Yuga is not a Brahmin. Just a few little things. Of course, the ladies aren't given sacred threads. There are some bogus institutions who do give ladies sacred threads. But according to the Vedic literature, according to the Pancharatrika literature, according to the Bhagavatam and all the great sages, ladies don't get sacred threads. So don't worry about it. Doesn't mean you're lesser. It just means you don't get it. I mean, just like men don't get saris. You know, so what? So at the time of Gayatri initiation, a male disciple is given the sacred thread, which is draped over his shoulder. This represents Lord Vishnu residing in the heart. And Yajnopavita means the thread of sacrifice because it symbolizes sacrificing the ego for the service of God. And this is a little ritualistic thing, which is kind of funny. Wearing too fat in Apavita results in loss of reputation because one is trying to boast and show off that he is a big Brahmin. Wearing a sacred thread, this is just a ritualistic thing. I don't pay too much attention to this, but it's something funny that came out. Wearing a sacred thread that is too thin results in a loss of wealth because one is ashamed of openly admitting himself to be a Brahmana. Actually, it's the mentality behind the choice of threads that counts. Mm. A brahmana should be free from false pride and feigned humility. Feigned humility means he's making believe he's humble. Free from any ulterior motive, he should wear an upavita, that means the Brahmin thread, only to engage in the Lord's service. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, we have the qualities of one who is qualified to chant the Gayatri Mantra. That is the qualities of a Brahmin, samadak namat dapakcho cham shanti raja vimeva cha ganavi ganamasti kyam brahma karma subhavajam. So that's really what makes someone a Brahmin, at least in the mode of goodness. If someone is equal poise, sama, dhamma, self-controlled, not giving in to anger or bewilderment or frustration or madness or lust or any of those things. Someone who is austere, ready to take some physical or even mental austerity on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When it was always clean, Prabhupada would often say, Brahman means clean. At the time of initiation, he said, Brahman means suci. You probably use that words. I remember that at initiation. Bathing three times a day, cleaning your hands. I remember when we first joined the movement, we were told we have to clean even the feet after eating. And I remember that the devotees would just put their feet in the prasadam room sink all the time, which is kind of moochy. But they would stand on one leg. You remember that? They would stand on one leg and just wash their foot off in the sink. So, but this is very important. Prabhupada said if we don't learn these brahminical principles, first of all, we're not going to be clean and our mind won't be absorbed in the mode of goodness. And secondly, when we're preaching to people who have some culture, they will not respect us. Like if we use our left hand when we're eating, or we don't clean our hands before eating and after eating, all these things will cause us to be criticized. Anyway, so these are some of the points about the Gayatri Mantra, which King Bart was chanting. There's a lot more to be said about the Gayatri Mantra. Of course, nowadays you have these Gayatri groups, and which they chant this Brahma Gayatri even in kirtan. And I remember seeing one, they were actually dancing all in like a the horo or something like that, you know, in a circle, like in a chorus. Om Bhuva. And then when they got to the middle of the Gayatri Mantra, they raised their hands and they went back in a circle, back and forth. That's all bogus. Because in order to chant the Gayatri Mantra properly, one has to get the permission of the spiritual master and hear it from the spiritual master. The Shruti, it's a Shruti. It has to be heard to get the benefit, heard from the cyclic succession to be able to get the benefit from it. So, anyway, so here Bart Maharaj is chanting the Gayatri Mantra, worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead and being absorbed in his platform of Baba. So any questions or comments about these things? We have about one second left. Anyway, it's interesting information about the Gayatri, isn't it? And there's more information about the other Gayatris, but I'm not going to speak about that in class because these are Gayatris that shouldn't be spoken about publicly, the other Gayatris. You have the Guru Gayatri, the Gaura Gayatri, the Gopal Mantra, which is the magic mantra which Gopal Kumar was able to traverse all the universes and ultimately go back to Godhead. And then you finally have the Kama Gayatri, which is the last Gayatri, which represents Srimati Radharani serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Okay, so all glories to His divine grace, to the Bhagavad.